Is the future of climate change solutions found outside of Earth in space? Well, the MethaneSat space mission may be one step towards this answer. MethaneSat is New Zealand's first government-funded space endeavour and aims to use the satellite to map methane emissions across New Zealand. This will help inform future policy and industry sectors in reducing methane and helping climate change efforts. This is the final piece for Connor's investigation into climate change in New Zealand, and he speaks to two familiar voices, Dr. Sara Mikhailoff-Fletcher from NIWA and Professor David Noon from the University of Auckland. They cover what the mission is, what stage it is in, and how the results are going to be used. They begin with their introductions.
Kia ora. My name is Sara Mikhailoff-Fletcher. I'm at the National Institute for Water and Atmospheric Research, NIWA. And I'm the science leader for the New Zealand-based MethaneSat science program.
Hi there, I'm David Noon from the University of Auckland. I'm a professor in the physics department and I'm the Buckley Glavish Professor of Climate Physics.
What is the MethaneSat space mission?
MethaneSat is a really unique space mission that's about launching a satellite that will be able to detect methane from space. That's not the first satellite that can detect methane from space, but what makes it really special is three things, really. One is incredible spatial resolution, being able to see methane on the spatial scales that are needed to really identify large-scale farming operations or individual oil blowouts. And the second thing is the precision. The ability to get the correct number is going to be, is advertised to be around 2 to 4 parts per billion. Now that probably doesn't mean a whole lot to you, but to me it means the same as we can get from a measure that we might take on the ground. And the third thing is the focus around being able to provide really policy relevant information. So MethaneSat was initiated by an NGO. It was initiated by Environmental Defense Fund, with the goal of providing the kind of information people need to be able to reduce emissions. And so the focus really beginning to end is around being able to provide that kind of information so that people can be empowered to take action to reduce their emissions. And that means that the way the data will be flowing will be shared, and the processes to turn what the satellite sees, which is concentrations, into what people need for policy, which is emissions, are all designed around that.
Yeah, the MethaneSat mission as a whole is very exciting for New Zealand, and there's a lot of opportunities for people across New Zealand to be involved in various ways, not least of which is that the scientific participation and the technical participation in this international activity really stands up aspects of New Zealand's space faring capacities. So here at the University of Auckland, we'll operate the Mission Control Centre for the mission as a whole. And that is associated with driving the spacecraft, as well as some of the health aspects of this, monitoring the health of the satellite. But the other part that means is it provides opportunities for students and others to be engaged in thinking about what can be accomplished through space-based observations of the environment. So alongside the science operations that Sara alluded to and the implications of some of the analysis that comes from that scientific work, there is this whole scope of technology development that'll be opening up for folks in New Zealand here.
Yeah, just building on what David said, that he's raised some really useful and important points. I'd just like to add that it's really a partnership between teams in the United States and teams in New Zealand. So I mentioned that it was initiated by Environmental Defense Fund. It's the first satellite that's primarily funded by charitable donations, and their research partners, you know, Harvard University and the Smithsonian. And their primary focus is really around the fossil fuel part of the problem, because that's one of those things. Fossil fuel methane is mostly being emitted by accident. So if you can identify where those big fossil fuel blowouts are, you can then it's often quite profitable to address those problems. But the New Zealand side of the partnership is not only to build the Mission Operations and Control Center, as David mentioned, but also the New Zealand MethaneSat Science Program is around developing the applications of these satellite data to looking at agricultural methane emissions, which is actually the biggest source of human-caused emissions of methane. So that's our area to lead here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, as a science team.
So this is New Zealand's first government-funded space mission. So it must be pretty exciting to be involved in a project like this. Is this something that's in line with past projects you've been involved in, or is it fairly unprecedented for either of you? David, do you want to go first?
There's a variety of similar things we've been involved with before. My work in the past has been associated with US-based missions and to some degree some European missions. So there's some natural follow-on. One of the things that this program brings is some of that expertise into the New Zealand scientific and technological arena. I would point out, of course, that New Zealand has had its own homegrown and home-launched spacecraft before. There was a CubeSat program that was launched in associated with the student projects at the University of Auckland here. So I think one of the things that the MethaneSat program does is it's a real leap in the capacities that we already have, and it's continuing to grow here. I think one of the key aspects that this program does for us, the MethaneSat program as a whole, this allows this great coordination between the scientific activities, the engineering and the technology side, as well as some of the space oriented companies that have been growing across New Zealand as a whole. The interaction between those different communities, as well as the implications for policy and decision making, and empowering agricultural operators to think about their own farm operations for mitigating methane emissions. The connection between those components is something that we can do in New Zealand perhaps a little bit better than can be done elsewhere, because we are relatively small. We have relatively small different parts of our methane oriented communities, and we can get together and solve these problems a little bit more effectively than perhaps some larger activities where there's less cohesion or less direct connection between the different parts. So I think that's really a novel aspect for what we can accomplish here.
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, this is an incredibly exciting project. I'm one of those people who cut their teeth on Isaac Asimov and those old science fiction books. And this job leading the science program for the satellite project is as close as I'll ever get to my actual dream job, which is chief science officer on the Starship Enterprise, but it's not available. It's a fantastic opportunity to really be part of pioneering a totally new area for space-based research, but it's also a natural growth of a lot of what we've been developing here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. So I lead another program, which is Carbon Watch, which uses similar modeling tools to estimate methane emissions and also CO2 emissions, carbon dioxide emissions from fossil fuels and uptake by the terrestrial biosphere using atmospheric observations. Now that program really focuses on what we can learn from measurements on the ground. So this will be a big step up moving into what we can learn from measurements of space, but it's using that same family of modeling tools and a lot of the same connections to the stakeholder groups and policy community that have already been really developed through Carbon Watch. So that creates a lot of opportunity. But also I'd like to call out that, really from the beginning of greenhouse gas sensing satellite development, that Aotearoa New Zealand has been a really big part of that, even if we weren't launching the satellite missions ourselves. So we have what's called a Total Column Carbon Observing Network site that's located in Lauder in central Otago. And that's one of those places that's a tiny little town, probably has about 30 or 40 people, and it has a research station. But if you talk about Lauder to scientists anywhere in the world that work on these kind of upper atmospheric measurements or satellite measurements, they know exactly where that town is because it does so much important atmospheric research. And this TCON site, it's really the gold standard for how we ground truth the satellite measurements. So there's now a network of these TCON sites around the world, but Lauder was one of the two foundational TCON sites, and it remains the only one in the high latitude southern hemisphere. So it's really important not only for MethaneSat, but for a whole host of other satellites that measure greenhouse gases for all different types of research studies.
LORDA really puts New Zealand on the map in a scientific field then. That's awesome. How far through development is the project currently?
The spacecraft's planned to launch early 2023, and so in that sense, it's still under construction and really getting off the ground literally at the moment, as well as figuratively. We're working on some of the preliminary analyses to make sure that we're ready to ingest and utilize the data as soon as it becomes available. I think we sort of think of a snowball rolling down the hill. We're not quite at the top of the hill anymore, but we're still towards the top. As the program goes along, it'll gain momentum and gain impact as well. So we're really starting the roll.
As David mentioned, the satellite's not going to be in the sky for another, year and a half. But also, the 2 years prior to launch is still a pretty intense time, especially if you think about the desire and the energy to be able to provide data to help support emissions reductions quickly. So while it is that snowball analogy is really good, there's also a lot of frantic activity to make sure that we understand everything about how the data processes or flows are going to work, how the models are establishing and testing all of the models, and all of the ground-based verification. So, I'd say it's also a time where, although there's not a lot of huge results, there's a tremendous amount going on behind the scenes.
I think actually to add to that also that there's something that reminds me a little bit of Christmas in that you sort of think of the preparations that go into getting Christmas organized. There's shopping to do, there's wrapping to do, there's go to the supermarket, find a ham and a turkey and all that sort of stuff, get everybody together. A lot of that preparation work before the big day is really essential. A lot of the hard work gets done up front. So although we are waiting for that launch for the delivery of some of these outcomes, the work that goes into getting the preparations underway, not only underway, but really completing is really essential. A lot of where the heavy lifting gets done.
That's a fantastic analogy.
Yeah, I really enjoy that analogy. Does this mission have an end date, or is it going to be fairly ongoing?
Well, the New Zealand Science Program is funded for 4 years, and that started in July. But, realistically, the satellite will probably be in the sky for longer than that. We'd expect quite a lot longer. So we'll be looking for ways to continue that work going forward after that.
Yeah, the spacecraft have this habit of either lasting a few seconds after the engines are turned on the rocket or lasting for quite some time. If they don't explode on launch, they usually have a pretty good lifetime. I think the other thing that's really key there is that the mission itself has a whole variety of specific goals and objectives, and there's a lifetime to the science activities. But the question about what we do with methane and how we make use of greenhouse gas measurements to inform our policy and decision-making, that's ongoing. So part of what's going to be accomplished through this mission is really setting up a lot of the team building that allows us to be successful beyond the mission itself.
I mean, this is really the start of, it's really envisaged as being the start of a program of Aotearoa being much more involved in space research. And a lot of the work we're doing is through the New Zealand-based science project is really around developing the skills and capabilities that we need to partner with other satellite projects to be involved in all kinds of different space-based research to look at climate and environmental work.
What sort of results are you expecting from the mission, and how are those results going to contribute to our climate change efforts?
Yeah, there's different types of results which really come from this mission that are quite unique. And one of the things that's really a highlight here is the spatial resolution, the fact that maps of methane concentration can be found at scales that are consistent with sort of a township scale is really quite extraordinary. One of the things that we do for thinking about our reporting of greenhouse gas emissions internationally, which is the basis for international agreements and so forth, is really make these account of the emissions going all the way up from thinking about how many animals are on a pasture and how we're using fossil fuels, this accounting are referred to as the inventories are used. Those numbers are, you know, it's a big budget calculation that's done. A giant spreadsheet is put together and all of these things are added up. In the end, there's a real question about how accurate they might be. And without direct measurements, an independent way of checking those total estimates for emissions, we're left with it as sort of a counting exercise. And so one of the key results which will come from this are some independent methods or a method for verifying that those inventories are correct. The other thing that's really key here is that mapping ability, the ability to look at maps of the methane emissions, really allows us to think about the way we're using the landscape, and the way the landscape is used then allows different groups to make informed choices about whether these are appropriate or how they should be changed. So we think about agriculture and perhaps wetlands, drained or even more natural wetlands, how we might think about management of these sorts of environments really depends a little bit on the sort of information we have to make those choices. So one of the key outcomes will be the ability to make these maps here in New Zealand, but also internationally, other places have the same issue with respect to different sorts of agriculture and wetlands and so forth.
Yeah, I'd just like to add, David summarized really nicely a lot of what we learned for New Zealand and that mapping capability. I think our inventory numbers are probably very, very strong. So we'll be improving on something that's already, you know, really well, a really well-developed inventory database that is already underpinned by very solid science and a lot of investment. We'll provide a lot of additional spatial information to that. But what I'd see as being another really big winner that hasn't been necessarily discussed as much is, you know, while New Zealand is really the test bed for these methods, because we've got so many things going for us to be able to do this well in New Zealand, a lot of the applications will be looking at places around the world where they don't necessarily have such strong, clear, and transparent data available on what their agricultural emissions are. In fact, very little may be known. So this may already be the best information that is available to highlight where these emissions are coming from. And because this is really a partnership with EDF, which also raises money for mitigation, there might then be opportunities to link up some, you know, groups of people or countries that have emissions problems with opportunities for them to get some resources to be able to reduce those emissions.
I know that we've talked a lot about climate change and greenhouse gases, but going back to methane and the whole focus of this on methane, what other impacts are there of methane, not just on the environment, but does it impact human health or animal health or plant health? What other things can we find out about methane there?
Yeah, I mean, methane, because of its role in atmospheric chemistry, by reducing methane, will also really improve air quality. So one of the things in the atmosphere that consumes methane, it's hydroxyl radical. And then if you have less methane in the atmosphere, that hydroxyl radical, many people call it sort of the detergent of the atmosphere, is something that destroys many different pollutants, actually. So if it's not busy cleaning up all our methane in the atmosphere, then it has more time, there's more of it about to clean up air pollutants. So it could have a lot of co-benefits for human health. By reducing our methane emissions, we can then free up that hydroxyl radical to help clean up our air pollution problems.
Yeah, for the most part, the methane concentration itself is so low that it's not an immediate threat to human health. However, in some places, like in milking sheds, where a whole bunch of cows come in, the methane concentrations can get quite high to the degree that it becomes a hazard to people. And so, you know, that's sort of a very localized effect. You know, if you're in very polluted, very sort of claustrophobic, not well ventilated environments, you know, can be problematic. But actually, if I can turn your question upside down, I think is an interesting way to think about it, that one of the reasons that we have in New Zealand so much methane being emitted, or a leading methane source is associated with the cattle, both beef and dairy cattle, produce a whole bunch of methane in the way that they ferment. grass in their stomachs. They ultimately produce methane. I guess home brewing does the same, but you could imagine a cow is sort of like a home brew type of machine. I'm not sure if that's a good analogy, but it sort of works. And so one of the things that you can think about in terms of how you go about reducing methane emissions is by thinking about increasing the health of animals, that not all of the animals, the cattle that are born, make it to the age where they start producing milk, which is, I believe it's about 2 years before they really start being highly productive in milk. So not all the cows make it to that age for a variety of health-related issues. So by producing and working on farms to increase the health of the livestock, more of the cows actually make it to that age, in which case you effectively are producing the same amount of milk from a fewer number of cows that are born. So by improving the health of animals on the landscape, we ultimately improve our emissions portfolio as well.
Either of you have anything final that you want to add there?
I guess one of the things that's really important about the methane SAT mission as a whole is it really gets towards this question of our global responsibility, that within New Zealand, our methane emissions are part of our, in fact, a dominant part of our greenhouse gas emissions, which are part of a global problem that we contribute to, like other nations do as well. So the investment in the methane SAT mission and the science and technology around the mission is in some ways a statement of how we view our environmental custodianship as an important issue, the way we all believe that it's important to maintain the environment in a way that's healthy for future generations. That's really in behind the philosophy of why we think investing in understanding the science and the emissions of methane and other materials in the environment is so important.
And Sarah, did you have anything final to add?
Yeah, I do. First, I'd really like to give a shout out to MB and the New Zealand Space Agency for funding this project. It's a fantastic opportunity for Aotearoa. And I'd just like to think a little bit about methane and how it fits with our broader goals to reduce our emissions. And the stated goal of avoiding 1.5 degrees warming. Exceeding 1.5 degrees warming. And, there's two gases that are talked about a lot. One is carbon dioxide and the other is methane. And in order to be able to really meet that goal, we'll have to reach zero emissions of CO2 as quickly as possible and stay there, zero net emissions. But methane is a special opportunity in that because it has such a high global warming potential, by at the same time also quickly reducing our methane emissions, we have an opportunity to slow warming quickly and to slow climate change quickly. So it's one of the fastest ways and one of the biggest levers we have to be able to avoid some of the extreme climate change and extreme tipping points that could be ahead of us.
That was Dr. Sarah Mikuloff-Fletcher from NIWA and Professor David Noon from the University of Auckland.